back again with another episode of Mac Break, and back again with Kenji Kotto for Mac Break.
Hi, Emery. How are you?
Kenji, what do you got for us today?
Well, I got a cool little app. A lot of Mac users already use this, but for those that don't know about it, it's a great little tip. It's a program called Little Snitch.
It is a kind of it is a great app.
Yeah.
It's something you sometimes don't want to live without.
Right. Well, and the idea behind Little Snitch is to monitor your network communications. So let's say you want to go to a website, and a website has a flash animation, one of these nice new Flash 8 animations. Well, they might actually be collecting information from you. You don't want them to actually collect.
So your computer's always communicating, and it's sending stuff in and out, and this is going to let you monitor what's coming
exactly.
Into your computer.
Little Snitch is great for that. And it will also monitor any program that has a call home feature that you might not want it to call home about. So if we go in and let's say we're going to look at Safari, if I just bring up a standard web page, like I go to Amazon, nothing's going to happen necessarily because by default, Little Snitch knows about Safari. So it's going to let communications happen. And when you install Little Snitch, it automatically has certain things preset to automatically allow it.
So these are like rules or something?
Yeah, they're rules that you can set up. And we'll actually take a look at a rule. For example, if I go in here now and we instead try to go into, let's say, Firefox, which it doesn't have a pre-built rule for, suddenly we get a menu here saying Firefox-bin wants to connect to some port. Well, this is basically a message from Little Snitch, and it's telling us or giving us the option to basically allow this communication or disallow this communication. So I'm going to allow this communication right now on the same port.
And we're allowing it, we can choose once.
You can choose once, you can choose
quits.
Until it quits, or you can deny, or forever. And you can either.
And that sets a permanent rule.
Exactly, a permanent rule. And it can either have it on the same port, any network connection, the same server, or the same server and port.
Okay, so
you can really specify rules.
What are these options? What are these different options going to do in terms of how we can connect with Firefox? If we're doing this for Firefox, for example.
For Firefox, you're probably going to say, allow forever on the same port. That's basically saying you're going to allow all internet general communications on port 80. Some people don't want to do that necessarily. They want to know about every little thing. I usually just say allow forever on the same port.
So is it not going to give us any, is it not going to pop up at all if we're using Firefox?
Yeah, and if I say forever now on the same port, allow forever, it won't pop up again. Now, right now I'm getting the default browser because we just installed Firefox, but I'm going to tell it no for now. Okay, so it's gone the Firefox start page there. Now, any application that does a call home feature or accesses the internet is going to basically notify Little Snitch. And Little Snitch.
So a lot of applications they phone home for looking for updates or other various things.
Exactly. Or let's say we go to iTunes.
Crash reports. I mean, there's all sorts of things that your applications are sending data back to the company.
Exactly. iTunes is going to do the same thing. iTunes, because you have the music store for iTunes, you have the DRM and all that, it wants to call home again. So most people don't necessarily know that, but iTunes is going to be calling home. It's calling home on port 80, which is the standard web port, though.
And you'd be really surprised that a lot of applications are phoning home. And when you have it installed, you realize, wow, there's a lot of data coming out of my computer.
Exactly. Well, any software check, anything like that, is going to be a call home feature. It's got to access the internet. Now, one of the things Little Snitch doesn't do is it, by default, does not notify you about any local access. So if you have a local network and you're trying to communicate between your Macs on your network or something like that, it's not going to notify you about that.
Okay,
you
can change the rules. This isn't a firewall for...
No, it's not designed as a firewall. It's really designed as a network monitoring system. And just make sure that, the data that's going out or the data that's coming in is really the data you want on the internet.
Okay, so what happens if we set a rule and then we want to change it after the fact?
Okay, so if we've set a rule accidentally, like we've denied Firefox or we've denied QuickTime or iTunes, let's say, from accessing the internet, so now suddenly I can't get to the iTunes store and buy music. Well, you'll go up to your system preferences, and in the system preference tray, in others, you have Little Snitch. So now I see all the different rules for Little Snitch. And Little Snitch, basically by default, is locked. So you can't make changes to it. You do have to have certain administrative privileges to get into it. But you can see here we've got a set of rules. We have any application is allowed to do certain communications. Here's the Firefox one I just added. So it's going to allow TCP communication on connecting across port 80. So basically any web communication.
And it seems like they had some others built in, mail, which we didn't do anything for mail, but it's in there.
Exactly. Now notice also there's a green one here, or if I deselect it, it will be green. That green one's basically an active program that I've told it that I'm going to allow it to access the internet only while it's open in this session. So you kind of have an idea of what programs might be open that you've given temporary access to versus programs that you've said allow forever kind of thing.
Okay, so how do we actually change one of these rules that we have set up?
So let's go ahead and maybe change the rule for iTunes. Now, right now, if I go in here and try changing this, they're all grayed out. Or if I select any of the rules here, I can use some of the different temporary user-defined. Here's, you see,
oh, that's nice, so we can easily just see what we've set versus what it's automatically
or
done.
Or temporary rules. So here's the temporary rule I just set up for iTunes. But again, because I'm locked out right now, I can't make any changes. So I do have to unlock it. I have to authenticate it. So I'm going to go ahead and enter our secret password in here. And now I can go ahead and make changes to that. And notice now I've got all the rules in here. So I can go in here and edit this. And I have my basic set. So now I can say allow any. And I can say what port, communication.
So that was this. We didn't have the protocol option last time.
The protocol was there, but it was up in the message up at top. So the protocol and port were basically given to you in the message. You don't necessarily have that given to you when it's popped up automatically right at the beginning, or right when it's doing any kind of active communication. But here I can actually choose any TCP or UDP port protocols. But I'm just going to go ahead and save that rule. And that rule is now saved, not in my temporary, but it's in my standard user-defined rules now, and it's part of my permanently allowed rules. So it's pretty easy. At first, you might not quite understand what's going on there, but play with it a little bit. And you know what? If suddenly your network communication stops, you can restore it to default. So they actually have on their website telling you how to do that.
Or you can just disable it altogether. You can stop it. If you're having trouble connecting to something and you can't figure out what rule is not letting you connect or whatever, you can just stop it, which I use a little snitch, and I've had to do that sometimes to kind of figure out what rule I set that's not letting me get to where I want to go.
Now, when you first get a little snitch, it is an actual shareware program. It does cost $24.95. When you first install it, it only works for 20 minutes. So if you want to test it out, you can use it that way. But at the end of 20 minutes, then it lets all network communications happen no matter what you've done in your
system. And you should really, I mean, these shareware applications.
These guys work really hard.
Yeah, the developers work really hard, and it's, you know, it's not a lot of money. And if you like using the software, it's a really good idea to pick it up.
Exactly.
And, you know, it seems like there's a lot of uses for a little snitch. If you just want to be more secure, you're just, you know, you don't like the idea of your computer talking to to anyone without your knowledge, and this is the solution for you.
Well, and especially the one that bothers me is kind of the Flash 8 stuff that tries to get additional information from you now, like I said. You know, you'll go to a website.
So what kind of stuff is it actually necessary?
Well,
what kind of stuff
it's trying
can
to set and
you?
Grab other information. Flash 8 now has some newer capabilities that can grab more information from your system that actually access additional ports now. And Little Snitch will tell you that. So you'll go to certain websites and you'll see Little Snitch pop up this message about some unknown thing trying to access your machine. And it's probably because there's a Flash 8 piece they're trying
and
to pull
you really across. You find it across multiple web pages.
Exactly.
So if it's something I really want to see and it's a web page I trust, I'll allow it once
or allow it forever.
I don't allow the web browser forever. I do it on a page by page basis because, as you said, there's certain pages that are.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you don't know what's going on. Yeah. So there you have it, security. It's $24.
Yeah.
So if you like it, go to the website and check it out.
Check the link down there.
And we have a link, of course, so it's really easy for you guys. This is another edition of Mac Break, and Kenji, thanks so much.
Thanks.
We'll see you guys next time.